You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Nestled within the Hauraki Plains runs the Piako Awa, a large tidal river rich with birdlife, saltwater, sediment, farm runoff, bacteria and algae. Artist Kate Vanderdrift's watermarks are photographic works that engage with the Piako Awa and are currently displayed digitally in public spaces across Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch. These photographs are the result of river exposures, a process created by the artist that involves submerging large format negatives into the river for a 2 to 4 week period. Each work captures a unique interaction between the film emulsion and the environment of the Piako. To hear more about the works, I caught up with Kate Vanderdrift. I began by asking her about her wider body of work, Listening to a Wetland, the master's project which Waterworks were a part of. Here we are now.
I started making work towards Listening to a Wetland a few years ago. It's been a long form project working in the Hauraki Plains. It's been a place that has captured my curiosity for lots of reasons. Its history as a forested wetland, and it's kind of place in the colonization of New Zealand, and then the current ecological position that it's in right now, where it's currently drained and used for intensive agriculture, and the really special peatland that is in the centre of the plains, which is called Kapuatai. So, I've just been fascinated by the area for quite a long time, and that led me to wanting to work there whilst doing my master's at Elam. I did that over the COVID period, and because we couldn't show our end of year work, our end of year MFA work, I ended up exhibiting that project at Pau Homestead, and that was this time last year. So that was kind of a work that was made up of not only the images that are in watermarks, but some video. I'd been making a video work and taking other types of field notes from quite a long period of research and field recordings. Yeah, so this time last year, the works were on show at Pau Homestead, both the video work and some cameraless river exposures that I'd made with the Piako Awa, which is a river that flows through Kapuatai, the peat dome, and is highly impacted by the farming and the drain farming that surrounds it. So, I could tell you a little bit about how the images are made. They're quite complex.
Work. Yeah. Do you want to tell me, before we get into the technical process, a bit of your personal relationship to the Piako Awa or the area that you were working in?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a grandchild of Dutch immigrants, and I grew up on drained farmland in my early years. My dad was a share milker, and my grandma lives at the southern end of the Piako, of the plains. The Piako runs nearby, and my mother grew up there. So it's a place that's super familiar to me. Be familiar to so many people, those flat, gridded, drained, green pastures. They feel like home when I'm in them. And I guess probably 8 years ago was when I first learnt, after reading one of Jeff Park's books, Ngā Uru Ora, The Groves of Life, just how transformed those pastures are. You know, of course, we all know that New Zealand was covered in bush before colonisation, but the impact of the deforestation of the Heketea and the draining of the farmland was pretty pretty devastating for that ecology, that really important ecology. And yeah, it just had a real emotional impact on me to realise how blind, what a blind Pākehā I was, and still am in lots of ways, but just to start to see the telltale signs of what something had been, and to see the level of erasure that could happen, and asking questions of my family as well. My grandmother could remember the burning of the peat, and I guess that's what started the work, and it has been a really long, long time spending time in the same place, returning over and over, and just, I guess, learning about the place through and kind of like an embodied understanding. Doing a lot of walking and meeting people that live nearby, people that live on surrounding farmlands, and people that go into the wetland, into Kapuatai, which mostly have been people that I've met have been hunters and your pig and duck hunters. So kind of getting to know the place, because it's you can't see it from the road easily, and there's not very many entrances to the wetland. Mostly just trying to get to know it through being there.
And tell me about the physical and practical process for making these river exposures. It's quite a unique and complex process. So are you able to just walk me through that?
Yeah, entirely. So they came about because I was spending so much time in the wetland, along the river, in the plains, and I was taking photographs of the river and feeling as though they were really inadequate. The images were not portraying something of the experience that I was undergoing while I was in the place. And I got to the point where I had underwater housing, and I was taking photographs, and waders in the water, and that still felt too separate. It didn't feel adequate either. And I'd been reading Mike Joy's edited book, Mountains to Sea, and there was an article by a scientist, Nick Kim, and he was talking about the impact of chemical fertilizers on such places and the ability to accumulate in the sediment of the river. So, I'd been spending a lot of time looking at the sediment and wondering how to picture it or what was possible. It's really sticky and fine, and there's a lot of it. And so, it was because of the article and his mention of the accumulation of the toxic load from the superphosphate, as well as the potential for accumulation of radioactive material, that I wondered if somehow placing film into the river, into the side of the river, would create an image. And then, so I just started to experiment with using film in the waterways. They're mostly tributaries to the Pākehā, so they're quite polluted, a lot of algae and bacteria. And then, found a way that an image started to appear on the negative. And it really, every time something did appear, it just felt like such a gift and such a really beautiful kind of connection with the water in a way. So I kept on working, and what I ended up doing was putting unexposed negatives into 4x5 or 8x10 negative carriers. So they're the negative carriers that were used in large format cameras. And I put the film into the carriers. I was at Elam at the time, so I had use of the darkroom. And I could then put those carriers into the waterway. And because water can go around corners but light can't, the water could flow into the negative carrier. And, so that's how these images were made. And they were made over a course of a few weeks. I'd take them and leave them there for a while and then come and retrieve them. And, it ended up changing for me from something that was trying to capture a chemical load into feeling as though I wanted to try and work with the river to write its own image. So the hour was creating these kind of beautiful folds of colour, and you could see some microbial activity and the bacteria and the chemical load, I think, what they're creating the colours in combination with time. And so that was kind of where that started.
And they're quite extraordinary colours, like bright purples and blues. Which was that what you were expecting to come out?
I just had no idea what would come out, really. I'm still just super surprised. I'm not making these works at the moment, but it's just magic what comes out, and I can't really tell you how certain, like, I'd never be able to recreate something. And I guess I had no idea. And I, in the very beginning, when I was doing a lot of experimentation and I had access to the darkroom, I'd just keep my enlarger set to the kind of medium color range, so that each of the images I could compare them. And most of the images do come out in the kind of purpley, bluey, pinky kinds of tones. But every now and then I've had a couple that have come out quite red, and they seem to be the ones that have been in the more saline water. So the Piako is really low-lying, and the sea, it's tidally affected, even though it's super inland.
What's it like having these works? Obviously, you have exhibited them at Pa Homestead, which is a traditional gallery space. What's it like now having these works displayed up and on view to such a diverse public?
Yeah, I haven't seen them at night time myself, but I saw some photographs that the wonderful Set from Art Diary took, and because I live in the Waikato. And I think because they're kind of details from each of the larger negatives, I've really loved seeing them at a larger scale, just for the ability to see the small details. So on a 4x5 negative, it's quite a small negative, and to contact print them, to see them one-to-one is great. But when you enlarge them, you can just see the tiny bits that, you otherwise wouldn't be able to. And to have them at such a huge scale I'm hoping to come up this weekend so that I can, experience seeing them at such a large scale. It will feel quite immersive. And they are, at Pa Homestead, I lit them from in front, just with light, with directed spotlights, and when they glow, they just have another worldliness that feels really special to be in front of.
That was artist Kate Vanderdrift speaking with me about Watermarks, photographs on display around Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch until Jan the 22nd. Do keep an eye out for them around the city if you haven't seen them already. They're up on big sort of billboards and digital screens, and very impressive at night.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.